Oh, now I can say hello, Internet. Hi, Internet. How you doing? You're looking good tonight.
Did you miss weird, Internet?
How you doing?
I was just going to say that, Brita. That's kind of scary.
Sup?
Oh, that's charming. That would work on any girl ever. Sup?
Nice fucking tits. And that's how I met my wife.
I forget my password for the chat.
She's super special, then weird.
Yes, it's not true. I mean, it's true that she's super special, but yeah, no, she wouldn't fall for that shit either.
Oh, man, what a week.
Yeah.
It's only Thursday.
Yeah, I know, but it feels like it's done.
It's almost done. It's effectively done. Friday doesn't count.
So, I don't even know where to start.
Well, tell us the good news, Alan.
Oh, well, actually, I do have a little good news. And you may have heard it just now.
I have another cat.
Yay!
Amy.
Yes, Amy. She's about 1 year-ish old, small, brown tabby. And Cosmo is already in love with her.
Yes. Smitten.
Yeah.
Totally.
That took like half a day.
You know, I have had many cats in my life, and, you know, your two cats have acclimated to each other the fastest I've ever seen. I mean, it's like miraculous, really. You have two really great cats.
Well, yeah.
And I'm sorry they don't care at all about you.
Yeah, they have no time for me at all.
They're not interested in Alan at all. Because they're in love.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. They're like, oh, you. Okay, whatever.
Are you going to fill the dish?
Yeah. So, yeah, I have two cats now. I have the official cat guy starter kit.
Yeah. No.
You lost me at cat guy, Alan. Sorry.
Well, you know. It's not like I had a choice.
Speaking of cats, there they are.
Do you hear my cats?
Yes.
Yes.
It must be food time.
It's dinner time, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ronan.
Is he complaining because he's not getting the crunchies?
No, he's just yelling because he's hungry.
Oh.
Saying, put down the dish. Put it down. Put it down.
That's what my
Hurry
son.
Up.
I'm starving.
I'm hungry.
I'm going to die. Whoa.
Yeah.
He's going to take two bites and say he's done.
So they went from sitting across the room from each other and staring at each other to this was Sunday.
Yeah, you got her on Sunday.
Yeah. And by Tuesday, they were playing chase games with each other. This morning, they were wrestling on the floor. So, I expect them to be spooning by this weekend.
Yep, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And so, then comes the ear washing. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff. So
I think you got Cosmo a cat. You didn't get yourself another
cat.
Yeah,
that's pretty
much
how it happened.
So Alan's like a cat pimp.
That's right.
Oh, God.
I am. I'm the pimp. I'm the pimp, cat pimp daddy.
You're the cat daddy.
Yeah.
Somebody get Alan a plush bowler hat. And a gold cane.
That's right.
We got to get your fronts done.
I'm the cat. I need a grill.
Grill. You could buy one of those novelty grills that you just kind of clip on. Lee press on grill.
That matches a tie.
It's not right. You gotta do it right.
Well, luckily they're both fixed.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Were they broken?
Well, in a way.
They would be.
I think, Alan, you need to, in diamonds, you need to spell Alan across your forehead.
And you got to get a tattoo, Alan, across your knuckles.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
And you need to get a tattoo of your face on your neck.
No.
And then...
It is Thursday, November 19th, 2015. This is episode 173. Oh, my God.
Wow.
And Alan is wearing an ice watch.
I am wearing an ice watch.
And nothing else.
And actually, I have a t-shirt on.
Okay.
It's a little chilly. Also, I also got, finally, kind of the cat acquisition superseded it, but I also did pick up an iPad Pro Friday.
So I hear they're pretty awesome.
They are.
They're like much larger than the iPad.
It's about an iPad and 3/4.
Wow.
For the regular one. But it's really cool because it'll do, you know, you'll do split screen, you can run two apps at the same time. I know everybody's like, oh, computer run two apps at the same time. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know. It's a tablet, and it's huge, and it's got 4 speakers, and you know, come on.
Which is heavier, the regular iPad or the new one?
I think my old regular iPad's heavier than the new one.
Huh.
Alan, shut up.
The new one is it's like holding a little piece of glass. It's so thin and so big. It's like you're like, shit, I'm gonna break this, but it is pretty solid. It's like everything's bonded to the glass.
Hmm. Because that's the thing I've worried about, like getting a bigger tablet. How heavy is it going to be? Because the glass is heavy.
It's actually not heavy at all. It's so light. It's that lends itself to the feeling of fragility. I guess it's very light, but it is not fragile at all. I've not beat anything with it, but you know, it's pretty solid. And I have used Lightroom on it. That works great. I have used Office and Excel on it. You know, Word and Excel. That works great. And they're, you know, the full Office apps. They're not like, you know, lobotomized.
Right.
So anyway, it's pretty cool.
And you can have two things open at one time?
Yes, you can.
No way.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how that would be useful.
Now I got to go get one.
It's actually pretty useful because it has two modes. One's where you have like one wide and one narrow window, and then the other one's like a 50-50 split screen. So I find myself all the time flipping the little thing open and open up a chat window on the side for like Facebook Messenger. Or opening it up just a little enough to open my password store and pull a password out or something like that, or make a note about something. I haven't used the 50-50 split screen nearly as much as that, although I have used it. It's just, I don't know.
Is this the iPad Air 2, Alan?
No, it's the iPad Pro.
Pro. Ah, iPad Pro. Thank you.
And I also ordered a pencil for it, the pencil. But
Jay, are you shopping for one right this very second?
No.
Watch the video. It's pretty cool.
Do they autoplay? I hate autoplay.
No, they don't autoplay.
Autoplay
should be punishable. Apple does not autoplay.
No, I'm just curious. So,
but the pencil, I haven't messed with it yet, but everybody that has says it is amazing.
You mean the stylus?
It's not a stylus. It's a pencil. You know why it's a pencil and not a stylus?
Because it has graphite inside and allows you to write on a piece of paper?
No, because Steve Jobs said styluses were stupid and Apple would never make one.
Isn't he dead now?
Yeah, he is. So Apple's making a stylus, but they're calling it a pencil.
It's kind of pencil-shaped.
It is pencil-shaped.
You know what? So is like a lot of styluses.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
They have the eye pencil.
Yes. It's not the eye pencil, but it's
might as well be. Come
on. To be fair, my wife has had an iPad stylus for like, I don't know, 5 years now.
Yeah, they've made them in the past, but this one, the big difference is this one has...
Is it called a pencil?
Well, no, it has... it's got force feedback, and it has like no latency at all. Zero latency.
What's that mean?
Well, it means like a lot of styluses and a lot of things you draw on the screen with, there's a lag between the movement of the pencil and what draws on the screen.
Oh, yes, like that fraction of a second.
Right. This one, yes. there is zero latency. It is instantaneous. So it feels like you're actually, you know, as far as you're concerned, you're actually drawing on it.
You know, I'm like making a face right now.
What?
Oh my God. Fraction of a second. Oh no.
Well, but when you're drawing and trying to do some art or something, it makes a difference.
What kind of art are you making?
I'm still making the face.
Well, I'm not making any because I don't have one yet. And frankly, even when I get one, you know, I have, my stick figures look bad.
Alan's going to draw Muhammad.
I can't. I might draw a horrible stick figure and name it Muhammad, but. It would not be noticeably. There's no way you could look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's Muhammad.
You put a turban on it.
Yeah, well, okay. That would be
a bomb.
So
make it holding a bomb.
Anyway.
And raping a 4-year-old.
Right.
Go.
I'm sorry, like 8. Right.
This is.
His first wife was like 8 or something.
Oh, in goat years.
Yeah. Speaking of Muslims.
That was scary, Alan.
Yes. Speaking of Muslims.
Was that a good segue or what?
That was. Excellent.
Thanks.
There was a better segue than Dean Cammon.
Since we already probably got a fatwa issued against us for the Muhammad thing.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Bring it.
I would tell them to come get me at work, but I'm afraid I'd be jumped for hunting over paint.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, I was just thinking about this. If it's such an insult to, like, draw Muhammad or speak ill of Muhammad or all that, why is it okay to name your retard kids after Muhammad?
That's a good question. I think it relates to Islamic art in general. Islamic art never shows human beings. It very rarely shows animals. And it's because they believe that only God is able to create, you know, it's like you're mocking God kind of by trying to create the image of a man or a, you know, that sort of thing. They leave that sort of thing to God. And so a lot of Islamic art is just patterns and floral motifs and that sort of thing. I'm sorry to go into art history, but I think it probably goes, you know, and then when you go to try to draw Muhammad, who is their, you know, most excellent prophet guy, you know, it's like that times 100, you know, that thinking, you know, only God could create the perfect prophet that is Muhammad. So don't, you know, whatever.
But if you have a son and name him Muhammad, and he grows up to be a lifelong fry chef and welfare suck playing Counter-Strike in the basement and occasionally shitting his pants, that's not at all an insult against the prophet?
That's, well, but that's good to Brita's point. That is like, their entire foundation of existence is based on magical thinking.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not magical underwear. That's Mormons.
Right.
I think they have magical underwear, don't they?
But the whole art thing is just a symptom of this whole magical thinking thing. It's, you know, no wonder they're so screwed up.
Yeah. I mean, essentially Islam is like this, was before monotheism and Muhammad. These were the people who were like, you know, they had the kind of like this weird animist kind of religion, right? And then Muhammad happened and he just kind of plunked his rules on top of that. So, You know, it's like the Irish, right? The Irish were pagans for a long time, and then St. Patrick came and plunked Christianity on top of the paganism. And honestly, Irish Catholics are still just toeing the line there. There's a lot of pagan stuff in you know, kind of Irish Catholic traditions. And
give me some good ones, Brita.
Holy wells. In Ireland, there are a bunch of holy wells, and these are essentially natural springs, and they have been holy since humans lived there because, fresh, beautiful water coming out of the ground,
fresh, clean water. It must be an act of God.
And then Christianity came, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, Mary appeared at this holy well, and it's suddenly like a Catholic Christian holy well, but it's the same holy well that the pagans went to.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So luckily it worked out for the Irish Catholics that we're not like this crazy, like, you know, baby raping, beheading death cult, you know, but I think that's what happened with Islam.
That's actually, you know, that's actually interesting because, you know, think about a primitive culture. Fresh, clean water that didn't kill you would be damn near miraculous.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So.
Huh.
Well, anyway.
Yeah. So now we've got, you know, for some reason we've got these, you know, have you seen, I've loved the picture. Have you seen the picture of the so-called Syrian refugees that look like guys like a SEAL team coming in?
It's like a group of meatheads.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, really? These are starving refugees? Because
orphans and children just keeps getting
widows
tossed
and
around.
Widows and orphans.
Right.
Widows and orphans. And it's one of those like, except they're all military age men.
Right.
Right. I saw a picture of some of the guys getting off the boat.
Yeah.
And they look like my trainer at the gym.
Yeah.
I mean, no kidding.
Yeah. Why aren't they staying and fighting? That's my big question.
Because that's not the point. Because
they're coming here to fight.
Yeah, yeah. Because pretensies.
Not only are they coming here to potentially fight, but they're coming here to suck up all our, you know, free healthcare, free housing, free food, free education. You know.
Yeah.
They're just giving it away, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's true.
And so we're supposed to absorb 100, is it 100,000?
Oh, God.
Or 700,000. However many. So they're going to take, you know, 100,000 plus of these people that are illiterate for the most part. They're definitely illiterate in English.
Right.
They don't speak the language. They don't read the language. They don't write the language. They have no skill, you know, no skill that works in modern America. And,
I don't know. They could probably work pretty well in the coal mining industry. They blow up pretty good.
And yeah, but what are they, you know, what are they supposed to do here except sit and, you know, take welfare?
Well, that's what they're doing.
That's the whole reason why they came here. That's like saying, what am I supposed to do in Florida besides sit on the beach and drink Mai Tais? That's why I went to Florida. I could get a job at the local, you know, whatever or all that stuff, but that's not why I went there. So even if they did have marketable skills, who gives a shit? They're not there to use them.
Yeah, except when you went to Florida and sit in Mai Tais, you paid for that. Somebody else didn't pay for it.
That is true. But again, but welfare is free. That's how the Democrats done make it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out what is the political advantage for the Democrats wanting these people to be voters in the country. No. I don't believe that that's what it is. Because, I mean, they're not citizens yet, right?
Brita, also, pair that also with the fact that they want to subsidize everything. They will page out money for, we'll give your kids lunch at school, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at school, and we'll do this, and we'll page out that, and just reach into those public coffers, and give you a nice fat check, and write yourself a nice tip for your time.
That's probably what it is. More clients at the welfare state.
But at the same time, under no circumstances should we require ID to vote at a polling place, because you know what? Some people who don't exist don't have ID, because everyone fucking has ID, including these people, all have ID, because you can't exist in this society without ID.
Mm-hmm.
But some people might not have ID, and they wouldn't be able to drop the $20 that it would cost to get a piece of ID. And yet, but they're not, and under no circumstances are they, it's not our job to pay for them to get their ID, but yet they'll pay for everything else. Yes, it's not, they're not there for the hunting. It's exclusively because, yes, so that these illegal aliens and criminals and all these other people who vote Democrat can vote Democrat.
Damn it.
The more cynical person might think they're hoping something happens because the crisis go to waste.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. You know, you bring all these people in, they're going to be completely dysfunctional. They'll probably cluster in one little area and turn it into a slum with high crime and riots, and they'll burn stuff down. The government will go, we got
to
step in and save everything.
Detroit.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's already a big Muslim community in Dearborn, Michigan, which is right near Detroit.
Oh, you know what?
You know what? One Michigan winter, they might want to go home.
Well, I was just thinking,
send them to Lewiston, Maine.
What are the chances? What are the chances the Muslims in Dearborn are a different sect from the ones coming from Syria?
I don't know.
Can we race them like West Side Story? When you're a Sunni, you're a Sunni. Okay.
Exactly.
First ritual killing to your last dying day. Come on.
Oh, Jay.
Wow.
That was great.
That's right.
I'm going to hell.
No, that was awesome.
But to be fair, the Somali refugees in Lewiston, Maine have been there for a decade and a half now. And yeah, they don't seem to mind the winters that much.
They still have no idea what to do when that white shit falls.
Huh. And yeah, also know that because there was three white people on the street that I was living in Portland. It was everyone else was Somalis, and actually they were really nice, really enjoyed them, but they're actually super duper neighborly people. As a general rule, if you're renting, people don't pay you the time of day, because I can make friends with this person and develop a repertoire, and then they'll move away.
Middle East Side Story, that's awesome.
It sounds like you should pitch that to Hollywood.
Yeah, I want to pitch it to the guys from South Park.
Oh yeah.
Wait, Hollywood? You mean the people who turned the enemy in some of all fears from Muslim extremists to neo Nazis?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Red Dawn, it went from the Russians to the North Koreans. Because North Korea's really got the means to get an invasion force over to the U.S. You know, like by dugout canoe.
Oh, those Azerbaijani extremists.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to be fair, that whole statement about, like, maybe they hope something will happen, I mean, the really scary thing about it is that, I mean, essentially France, not quite, but they declared soft martial law. They shut down the borders. They shut down all the flights. They canceled everything public. They told people that, you know, to stay in their homes and not do anything like that. And it was all just, what, eight dudes with AKs and some explosives? Like, this was like a dirt cheap way to shut down a
country. They overreacted almost as bad as Boston.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, weren't those guys refugees?
Sure were.
Yes. No, welfare. Refugees. They were displaced persons.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were refugees who were on heavy amounts of welfare.
So, okay.
Not refugees. I have
heard the argument. You know, there's one group of people that make the argument that, oh, well, and I saw it like Facebook was like inundated with this for some reason. The whole, you know, well, you know, would you eat 10 grapes if you knew one of them was poisonous?
Hmm.
Right. And so they're using that as the argument that, oh, well, you know, if you know 10 of these guys are probably going to be terrorists, are you going to let all 100,000 of them in? And somebody else was like, yeah, but, you know, if you look at the population of murderers in the U.S., that you know, we actually have a higher population of murderers than they would have terrorists. So you ought to just let them in.
Okay.
My response to that is there's a difference between murder and terrorism.
Yep.
Chicago has murder every day, day in and day out, and nobody gives a shit. It doesn't stop the trains. It doesn't ground the planes. It doesn't cause the stock market to crash. It doesn't affect anybody else except the people directly affected by that murder. Terrorism, on the other hand, affects everyone. Every single terrorist act causes ripple effects through the economy, through everything. And that's its intent, obviously. So trying to create some kind of equivocation between, you know, native murderers and imported terrorists is complete bullshit.
I agree. I've never thought about it that way, but yeah, you're right.
Keep them out. Don't let them come here. They don't need to come here. Why do they have to come here? You know what? I say the United States will start accepting Middle Eastern refugees right after Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, start doing it. Because that is never going to happen.
I think...
Because it's not the point.
Yeah. Of course not.
The point is for, you know, them to spread jihad.
Yep.
You know, go into non-Muslim countries. And you know what? This is interesting. I just had a memory. When I was in college, I was friends with a girl. And she became a Muslim. We were going to a Catholic girls' college. And she became a Muslim because she fell in love with a Muslim guy. And they decided to get married. And she had to be a Muslim to marry him. Okay. And so I talked to him. Yeah, he was a very nice guy. And he was American. He was American born. His parents were American, you know. And he said to me that in his mind, jihad was spreading the Muslim faith. He had kind of like a religious jihad. It wasn't like a violent jihad, but the way he looked at it was, his you know, purpose in life was to spread Islam, to try to convert people to Islam. And I wonder if, you know, that might be other people's thinking, that they need to go into non-Muslim countries and try to spread, you know, spread their faith. Like, you know, I don't know. It's
I'm sure there's a lot of that to it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. And maybe that those are the 90% of Muslims coming here. They're feeling like not only will they be moving to a better part of the world, but they'll be able to spread their faith, which is, I believe that's part of Islam, is that you're trying, you know, bring people into your faith. But then you have that other questionable 10% of, you know. Yeah,
well, see, that's the problem. I don't mind people going somewhere and trying to spread their faith. I mean, Christians do it. Everybody does.
Sure.
It. You know, it's like it's a thing. But
yeah.
But as you say, the problem is the way they do it.
Right.
Convert or die. As Ben C. just said it in the chat. Convert or die. You don't have a choice.
The whole, you know, Islam is a religion of peace. They do believe that, but they feel that there will be world peace if everybody is Muslim. That's where the whole religion of peace comes from.
Because that works in the Middle East so well.
Yeah, right. I know. But they feel that, you know, if everybody is a Muslim and everybody follows the rules of Islam, the world will be completely a peaceful, idyllic place.
Hence the reason why Alan had that interesting thing of the, oh, what if one of them's Sunni and the other one's Shiite?
Yeah.
You know, chuckle. No. And it's one of those. Except for you don't really get, you know, care too much about the fact that, you know, oh, the, you know, the... you know, somebody just moved into the neighborhood. Ooh, they're Episcopal and we're Baptist.
Yeah.
Not really that much of a problem. Maybe there might be
sing the song again.
Maybe there might be the occasion of crass joke being thrown back and forth. Maybe.
Now I'm picturing like Episcopals and Catholics like duking it out in the street.
Big rumble. Catholics are just, and Episcopalians are just Catholic light. It's all the religion and half the guilt.
Oh.
Yeah, I think the only difference, the only real difference between Episcopalians and Catholics is that transubstantiation thing.
And the clergy can marry.
Oh, can they marry in Episcopalian? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, you know, the Catholics could marry up until, when was it? What, four? Well, I forget. Four. Whatever century it was, the Pope said, nope, y'all can't marry anymore.
You guys are done taking our shit.
Yeah, because they were, you know, it was all about the money.
It was all about the money.
Indulgences, which are now called carbon credits.
same thing, different religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and oh, God. This is like Alan Rance night, because that reminds me of another thing I thought was funny. Is you know how every time you remember last winter when every time there was a blizzard somewhere or something like that, and everybody went global warming, and the global warming people were always like, it's weather, not climate,
right?
You know, and I'll get all pissy. And remember the biggest hurricane ever. That happened. Yes.
Yeah. That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. Right. That suddenly was, oh yes, this is a direct result of global warming.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, that is the amusing thing is like, yeah, when it's like really, I mean, well, first up, they now have completely gone around that is it's climate change, not global warming.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's still all the greenhouse effect.
Yes.
That's still the whole statement is that carbon dioxide it absorbs infrared light.
Yes.
And so therefore light comes in, it turns the heat and it doesn't let the heat back out.
And somehow magically that greenhouse effect, instead of making it warmer everywhere, makes some places warmer and some places colder.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the whole thing is it's all it is just stating that the earth carbon's going up, which is there. That's the only explanation. And then therefore temperature goes up, except sometimes it gets cold.
Right.
But also at the same time, it's one of those like, yeah, every time there's a heat wave or a drought, global warming. But like every time there's a cold snap or, just ideal weather or all that, it's that's weather, not climate.
Right. Yeah, funny how that works, huh?
And they never really explain. I mean, like, they keep going up, like, pointing out the fact that, okay, well, you know, the last few winters have been colder than before. Well, yeah, but this part of the world was getting all that. Wait, so where does weather and climate end?
Wasn't the Arctic supposed to be ice free by now?
Yes.
Yeah. Polar bears are going to drown.
Yeah.
Yes.
And every time they send a ship up to document how thin the ice is, it gets stuck.
Or even better, those little archipelagos in the South Pacific that are even flatter than Florida. And yeah, they're supposed to be gone too. No, they're still there.
Well,
same thing with Florida. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, an adorable little barometer is, yeah, how many wealthy Jewish Yankees are complaining about their multi-trillion-dollar mansions getting washed away? Oh, none of them. But wait, they're in beachside communities in Florida, which are like 6 inches above sea level.
Yep.
But this is also the reason why ISIS is blowing stuff up.
I heard that too.
According to Bernie, feel the burn.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders says that global warming is the cause of Islamic terrorism.
Yes.
Yes. He's a genius.
That makes about as much sense as anything else that's come out of Bernie's mouth.
You know, the only reason Bernie Sanders is running is because he makes Hillary look like less of a socialist.
We need change. We need an outsider.
The only way the only way they can make Hillary look less left wing was to actually run a communist. Oh man.
And socialist, and those are actually right wing.
And who was it? What's her girlfriend's name? Huma said she was like easily confused.
Yeah.
Frequently confused. Yes,
she's frequently confused.
By all means, let's elect her.
Let's give her the reset button. And by reset button, I mean nuclear football.
Oh God.
Sanity.
Oh, that's my home server. Oh, I deleted all those emails.
Yeah.
Oh, I authorized a nuclear launch against Greenland. Fuck the Greenlands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're talking about weather, I would like to say that I am a huge fan of Mr. El Nino.
Brita wants global warming.
Yeah, man. I am friends with Mr. El Nino this year. It is the end of November and we have not had snow. And it was like 60 something today. It was awesome. Awesome. And sunshine.
Just so, lulling you into a false sense of security.
I know. I know it's coming. I know.
You haven't had a freeze yet, have you?
No, we've had a little bit of frost, but no like hard freeze. And we had like that, like, what is it called? Grapple, which is like those tiny little like snow BBs that fall from the sky.
Janine Garofalo? What?
It's called grapple.
Grappa?
I've definitely seen those. I didn't know they had a name.
Yeah,
they have a name. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're like little tiny, it's not hail, but it's like little tiny snowballs. Anyway, so we've had a little bit of that, but no snow. I'm just going to take it while we can get it because I know we're going to get, you know, winter eventually, but
you're not even going to have a hard, I'm just looking at your weather. You're not going to have a hard freeze for the next 10 days.
Awesome.
It'll be December.
Yay.
And you won't have had a freeze yet.
We had a pretty nasty frost a few days ago. And again, I thought about Alan.
What? A frost?
using an ice scraper.
I have an ice scraper in my toolbox in the truck.
But my daughter was running around the car, stomping on the little like ice shavings.
I remember that.
Oh, just wait, kid.
Oh yeah.
Just wait.
Just wait till you'd have to shovel the driveway.
Oh yeah. Today she said to me, I want to help you do the dishes. And I said, just you wait.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You will.
Have you gotten her the little baby vacuum yet?
We use the popcorn popper.
Oh, okay. Start them early, you know.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've got to tell you, let me announce to the internet, I have succeeded as a parent. I will take my award of greatest father of all time, of all history.
Okay.
Is she got up from her nap and she wanted to go downstairs and have a snack. And so she's sitting at the table eating some applesauce. And I'm just kind of standing around there and I go, it's really quiet in here. Let's put some music on. What do you want for music? And my daughter looked at me and went, Freebird!
Oh, my God.
Oh my God. The lighter was the best touch.
And indeed, yeah, indeed, she was hollering Freebird because she wanted to hear some motherfucking Skynyrd.
Oh, wow.
And we put on some Skynyrd, and yeah, when the breakdown happens in Freebird, shit happens. She goes nuts.
Wow. How was she with dubstep?
Not the biggest fan.
Not a big fan.
Hmm. So she does have some class.
Oh, not the biggest fan. Wow. But she does love herself some Psychobilly.
I remember picking my kids up at daycare, loading them into the car, and as we left, AC/DC Back in Black came on. I look in the little kid mirror and both of them are banging their heads. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I am a happy man.
AC/DC might as well be like a hormone or something like that. I mean, it's just the like perfected distilled. There's nothing good about it. You can, if you take like a 100 level music theory class, you can tear it all down to the frame and go, yep, nope, that's like the most basic music on the planet. Yes. Does not fucking matter. It's going to scratch every itch.
The bass line could be, let's face it, the bass line in pretty much any AC/DC song can be performed by one of those drinking bird toys. Doink, 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 doink.
Yep.
Now I'm going to have to find a drinking bird toy for all of the younger listeners.
What, yes. People don't know about the drinking bird toy?
I wanted one of those so bad.
Arbor Scientific has a drinking bird. All right, here we go.
Hey, come on. That was like the whole thing. Like in the opening scenes of Alien is all the drinking bird toys bouncing around in the spaceship.
Yeah.
Is like they had them mounted everywhere because we're gonna go to sleep for a couple of months. Let's get these things going and see if they're still working when we wake up. Ooh, I think the drinking bird needs a constant supply of water, doesn't it? Yeah, because it's powered by evaporation.
Is it? I thought it was temperature.
I remember Mr. Wizard did a whole thing on him.
Oh, now I gotta Google this shit.
Yes, evaporative cooling induces the rise of a volatile liquid from his tail towards his head.
Yes, but it's the temperature of the water.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It is a thermodynamic cycle.
Yeah, because the temperature of the water cools the bird's head and then it...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the evaporation of the water, but yeah.
Giant drinking...
No.
There's a giant drinking bird.
Oh, does it go cha-kunk, 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 cha-kunk when it dips its beak in the water?
Is it?
Now I have to.
For the love of God,
it is evaporation. It is evaporation from the beak that cools.
Yeah.
Makes it.
Giant. It should be like 8 feet tall. I want it to actually create wind when it drinks.
You need to put an axe blade on it so it'll cut wood.
Water evaporates from the felt on the head. Evaporation lowers the temperature of the glass head. Oh, okay, I got it. Is that liquid inside the bird, like, dangerous?
Probably.
It explodes, but...
Does it?
It's probably just isopropanol.
This is probably not a cat-friendly item to have in the
early house. Models were often filled with highly flammable substances.
I cannot have nice things because of cats.
Like isopropanol.
Oh, dichloromethane.
DCM.
That can't be good for you.
I don't know.
So what we're saying is the earlier pre-sanitized drinking birds were way better.
Yes, because they would explode.
kind of like if you have some pre PC laundry detergent.
Oh yeah, that actually works.
I want one filled with Trinitro toluene. Take that, bitches!
Cause I'm TNT. I'm dynamite.
Come back to AC/DC. Oi, oi,
oi!
It's like you. It's like okay. Remember back? Okay, maybe y'all don't remember. But I remember when I was a kid, you could buy like a chemistry set.
You could buy an honest to God blow shit up chemistry set.
Yes. No shit. There were actually one of the things to make was actually gunpowder.
Oh yes. My gosh. What?
Yep. Yeah. That was one of the things you could make with your chemistry set. And there was like smoke bombs and gunpowder and stuff to blow up and all kinds of cool stuff.
Now
you buy a chemistry set and you mix a dye and it makes another dye a different color.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there's no real chemistry involved at all.
How are you going to get your Atomic Boy Scout on?
I don't know. Crazy. It's like
it was so sad that like that dude after all the after all the whatnot with him making the fission reaction in his garage, it didn't really amount to anything after that.
Nope. Well, because it's not hard to make a fission reactor in your garage. I mean, my God, they made it underneath a squash court stadium or whatever the hell that
was. That's true. That is true.
It's not that big a deal. Hey, Jay, I had a question.
Uh-oh.
When you were in college, you took organic chemistry, right?
I did.
Ugh. How many dudes in your class were just there to learn how to make good drugs?
How do I make this lysergic acid? Yeah, nice try. We did make caffeine.
Woo!
I may have had to repeat that one a few times.
just to make sure.
I'll say right now, baby.
That the class was so motherfucking miserable that no, you were every last person down to everyone was there because there was some sort of major requirement for having it. If you could elect not to take that class, that's exactly what you fucking did.
Maybe it's a college thing, but I knew a guy in my ceramics class who used to hide. He used to make pipes and hide them inside sculptures so that when they fire, you know, they would get fired and not get fired in the kiln, and he wouldn't get caught because they were inside the sculpture. And then after the firing, he would, you know, have to take the bowl out of the sculpture.
Wow.
I know, it was very clever.
That is clever.
Impressed. Yep.
Huh.
College.
Yeah.
Pretty cute. All right, what's my grade? Cool, I get a B. Great, smash. spark.
That's I don't know. I think my version of that was like shop class in junior high when everybody's back in the back making like Chinese throwing stars.
That was metal shop.
Yes. Well, yeah, but we all did it.
Flat piece of metal became a throwing star. Didn't matter. Car doors. My parents' doors would have pieces missing.
Yeah.
I had a nice shiny red throwing star. It's only shiny on one side, though.
Those are great. What else come on. That's why you take shop class, to learn how to make weapons, right?
I took one of those switchblade combs and put a blade in it.
Well, there you go.
because I wanted to.
Because you could.
That's right. It's just super rough.
Bill Cosby had a line on that was the no matter how something can turn out in shop class, you could always put two grooves into it and call it an ashtray.
That's right. Back when people made ashtrays.
Yeah. You know what's hilarious is actually we were talking about ashtrays at work. This was years ago, but talking about ashtrays, and I went, I wonder if you could get, like, I mean, it's just, there used to be some pretty kick-ass ashtrays. And I mean, there's all sorts of, like, crazy, like, smoking shit. Like the gigantic table lighter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just the big, like, fucking naphtha wick. But the, but yeah, I looked up, you know, glass ashtray, trying to see if I could find one of those, like, big, you know, big glass ashtrays that people used to have all the time. And it's pretty much every single fucking ashtray is either got the big fat wide, you know, wide groove in it for a cigar, or has a pot leaf embossed in it.
Yeah, I remember, man, I remember when I was a kid, you had ashtrays in your house. Even if you didn't smoke, you had ashtrays in your house because people would come over and smoke.
Oh, yeah.
The whole concept of, oh, no, this is a smoke-free house. Even if you didn't smoke, was like unheard of.
Oh, yeah. No, neither of my parents. I mean, my mom smoked before I was born, but neither of my parents smoked for all of my lifetime. And yeah, no, back in the early days of the 80s. Yeah. Someone would come over and they'd fire up a butt right there in the living room.
Yeah.
And my parents had ashtrays.
Yep. I wonder if it's going to be like a collectible thing.
Ashtrays?
Yeah.
I still have my parents' standing ashtray.
Oh, that's what I was just about to say. See? My grandfather, who died of lung cancer when I was like 7, he had one of those big floor ashtrays.
Set it by his chair.
Yeah, sitting by his chair, and it was like this bullet shaped thing with a stand on it. It had the little lever you could flick that would dump the
ashes down inside it. Yeah,
down inside. Yeah.
The one I have has like a marble kind of ball at the bottom to like weight it, but it is like the classic like 1970s bicentennial kind of Americana style. Like,
cool.
I can't even describe it, but yeah. And the only thing, it's so sad, the glass part broke. So,
oh no.
I know, but I mean, you know, it's not like I use it or anything, but I don't know what I'd use it for. I
remember when I was a kid, my parents
for taking your depression medicine, Brita.
That's it. My parents had one of these like freaky hanging from the ceiling ashtrays.
Really?
Like on a,
I've never
like
heard
on
of that
a
before.
Rope or something. It was weird.
Was it macrame? Please say yes.
No. Well, I don't. You know, I just only have a vague recollection, and it was like a cable thing, like a wire, and you. I don't remember. It was like hung from the ceiling. So instead of like having a stand, the ashtray was like, it like hung from the ceiling next to the chair.
Wow. Yeah.
Poor design.
It was like those weird 70s hanging lamps. Those
the same kind
lamps.
Of thing.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God. My parents' house had those.
So you'd have the lamp would be plugged into the floor like every other fucking floor lamp. And then it would go up on the chain to the ceiling to a hook.
Yeah, right.
And then it would come back down. And that seems like a colossally good idea.
I thought you meant like the Art Deco lamps that hung from the abnormally high ceiling and had this like 8-foot shaft and just hung there. And every time you went to replace a light bulb, it was like this dance of death. Because you would touch the thing and it would start swinging, and then they'd start banging together, and just inevitably things went horribly, horribly wrong. And when you're 8 years old watching your dad swear up a blue streak at the light fixtures, it's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, or those giant gooseneck monstrosities that were there, this, it's just chrome.
My parents' house had, I swear to God, a 3-foot diameter glass ball for a front porch light. It was this, it was a giant disco ball, but this was like the big thing. Huh. You couldn't look at it without going, what were you thinking?
Hi.
Yeah.
Not high.
They're probably thinking cocaine. They're thinking cocaine and mustaches.
Hey.
Speaking of drugs, Brita, we were going to talk about this during one of the squirrel reports that wasn't.
What?
But you were talking Ohio's pot law.
Oh, God. Well, we don't have a pot law. It's still not legal because, well, what we had to vote on, and I made the joke that Ohio is like the only state that could get libertarians to vote no on pot. But what we had to vote on was basically like, in order to legalize marijuana, we would have to grant monopolies.
Yeah.
And thank you. The people of Ohio said, no, I don't think so. I was actually pretty sure it was going to pass because I was sure like every 18-year-old would go out and vote for pot without thinking, you know, without realizing what the monopoly thing could do. But no, it didn't pass. I was surprised. Yeah, so that's what it was. And even the Libertarian Party of Ohio was saying, oh, no, don't vote for this. Vote no on this. Because, you know, it was more political bullshit. You know, cronyism and monopolies and blah, blah. So, yeah. So no smoking the doob here in Ohio.
Except they are.
Legally. I'm not.
Yeah, that whole thing was funny. It's like, on the one hand, it's like, what were they thinking? On the other hand, it's like, well, did they do that because they could get a pot law that they knew nobody would vote for?
I don't know.
You know, kind of like one of those big to fail.
I think it's more like some of these. I mean, to be fair, I haven't seen any, like, I've heard about it with the Washington one. I haven't really actually looked about it when it was first passed, but the Washington one looked like it was very much the super duper tiered system of the people that were allowed to grow it could only sell it to distributors.
Right.
And the distributors were not allowed to direct sell to consumers. They were only allowed to distribute it to the dispensaries, and the dispensaries were the direct to consumer things. And right. Under no circumstance could anybody do anything different. Nobody who like ran a dispensary couldn't put a little patch in their backyard and, you know, and sell their own little special kind bud for their customers. It all had to be farmers, distributors, dealers, and on each tier the government got to take a little piece. The government was getting a cut off the top from every level.
Yeah, that's a really screwed up way to do it.
Yeah, well, and
would be perfect for Ohio because everything but that's else the, is like that.
Every liberal that I know that will agree when I throw out my libertarian line of just the fucking make it all legal, stop the war on drugs, it's crap, and will be like, yeah, legalize it and tax the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're liberals and they want more taxes because they just want to take other people's money. But they forget that, go ahead and tax the shit out of it. Make it like crazy expensive for pot so that people will just go, oh yeah, you know those people that I was buying the pot from before you made it legal? I'm going to buy it from them.
Right, and then they're cheaper.
And then when you catch me with a joint in my pocket, I'd be like, sorry, I don't go and drag a receipt around for everything on my person. I don't have a receipt for my pot. I don't have a receipt for the pair of jeans you found them in.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of idea. So you're still propping up violent murderers. Because let's face it, you know, no matter how innocuous, even the most innocuous pot, there's way too much pot being smoked in this country for it just to be, you know, hippie Joe in his little backyard grow operation.
Oh, yeah. No, it's big business.
Yep. No, it's big business. And when you get to that big business level, they can't call the cops. They can't put a lien on you if you stiff them. Nope. They can either beat the living fuck out of you or they can kill you. Those are their really only options. And yeah, and that's all. And that's exactly why, it's not like I want people shooting fucking heroin on the park benches, but hey, guess what? If they're shooting heroin on the park benches, it means that they got it from the local CVS, not from ISIS.
Right.
Sort of idea. Well, they're not getting it from violent, horrible, country-toppling murderers.
You know, I wonder. Let's say that drugs were legal. Mm-hmm. And the government taxed the shit out of them.
Yep.
What is the likelihood of a black market where these, you know, drug cartels and...
Here's
100% because they do 100%. It with cigarettes.
Yeah. So,
What's the number one smuggled contraband in the United States?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
Followed up by moonshine or booze.
Yeah, there's way more. Is moonshine? I know. I've read a ton of things on cigarettes. Is moonshine also that big? Like, do you need to get to
Well,
you definitely get to cigarettes before you get to pot.
It's not so much moonshine as it is untaxed alcohol or like cigarettes. It's not so much that the cigarettes are untaxed. It's that people are buying them by the semi truckload in low tax places. Right.
Oh, that's definitely true. High tax places.
So people do the same thing with booze, and it's called, you know, it's still bootleg and it's not technically moonshine, but they will frequently take, you know, alcohol. It's real common in the South because you have counties and states where you can't buy alcohol. So people will like go to the next county over and buy a shitload of it and bring it back and sell it to their neighbors out of their garage or something.
Or just simply, it's one of those like every time I drive through the state of New Hampshire back into Massachusetts, I'm committing Massachusetts tax fraud.
Exactly.
I'm supposed to declare those. Yep. I think you're only allowed. I don't know. It's something in the gallons, and I always exceed it.
Well, it's like the cops in Philadelphia. They, you know, the cops in New Jersey, on the Jersey side of the river, are stopping Philadelphia people looking for guns. Are looking for, you know, Pennsylvania people with Pennsylvania plates looking for guns. Cops on the Philadelphia side are stopping people, you know, that are coming back from Jersey with booze because the taxes are cheaper. So,
and heroin, because that's the number one supplier.
So you drive across any bridge or crossing from Pennsylvania to New Jersey, and the first thing you see is a big ass liquor store.
Or same thing, you cross into New Hampshire, no matter how the fuck you do it, the first thing you see is a liquor store.
Yeah.
Yep. Every highway.
They're not stupid.
It's a state liquor store. Liquor store.
Yep.
Right on the highway. Right on the highway.
Yeah, right there.
Pull off the highway.
Yep.
It's not even an exit. It's just.
Yep.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
The ones I frequent, there's not even any way. Everyone who works there has to get on the highway every day, even if they live right next door.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah, it's 100%. Yeah, the trick is to essentially do what iTunes did. iTunes, you know, I mean, there's still
make it so cheap that it's not worth stealing.
It's monetarily cheaper to steal it still because 99 cents versus nothing that is a difference,
right?
But the effort it takes you to get it and the idea and also just the social, you know, effort that you are stealing is too expensive. To it, so people just pay the 99 cents.
Incentives matter, always.
Exactly, and so that's why I always go like, don't tax the shit out of it because if you try to finance your adorable little healthcare system and pay off all the crazy teacher pensions, teacher firefighters and cops pensions with by the pot smokers, it's not going to happen. Especially when you start getting a lot more than, you know, I mean, it's one of those, there's a novelty of the crossing into like Colorado or Washington and going, I can go and buy and smoke pot And it's not illegal here, except it is because it's still illegal federally.
Yeah, but, and when you come back to your work and they give you a drug test or something, you'll get fired.
That's true.
So, yay.
But yeah, the drug test thing is completely stupid anyway. We talked about that when Joe Biden's adorable son was fired from the Navy with the he tested positive for cocaine, which means that he had coke on his cornflakes that morning.
Right. That's just,
you know, sort of idea, because yeah, if you fail a drug test for anything but marijuana, you are not only a problem, but you're an outrageous problem. Like, even if you're a problem alcoholic, problem cokehead, problem heroin addict, or all of that, so long as you've got enough sense to not, like, shoot up in the fucking parking lot before you start your shift, you're not going to hear – you're going to pass a drug test.
Shh, don't tell him that.
It's not a drug test. It's a pot test. Yeah, can you take this pot test?
Well, they do – well – yeah, pretty much. I mean, the urine test is pretty much a pot test because they can't really test anything else.
Everything cheap else enough. Is putting your system so
they can
quick.
You know, they can still, you know, there are very expensive tests that can detect stuff like that. What they do, what I've had to do for a lot of stuff, because I go on a lot of federal restricted areas, is they all do a hair test now.
Like a longer timeline.
Right, because it gets caught in your hair. But here's the problem with the hair test is like you had said, you have to really have a problem for that to show up. If you were to go, say, like smoke one joint one day and never did anything else, and then went, you know, 3 months later for a hair test, the test is not selectivity or whatever it is. It's not, the test isn't good enough. We're talking about these are cheap tests. If it was expensive, they wouldn't be able to do it. But it just can't detect that level. So you're, what they're looking for and what they're screening for are the people that do it like every day.
Right. The thing is your harder drugs like cocaine, they're out of your system like within hours.
Right.
So
do they even get incorporated in hair follicles?
No.
That's the other thing. All the drug tests are pot tests.
Well, yeah. There's a thing called the 5-panel test. The hair follicle, 5-panel test.
Yep.
And it tests for
It tests for them, but what I'm saying is it's
not sensitive unless you're a heavy user. It's not sensitive to read it. It tests, the 5-panel test for cocaine, marijuana, PCP, amphetamines like meth.
But what I'm trying to say is let us do a little transposition. I'm the type of guy who the baby goes to bed, I come downstairs, I look at the mountain of dishes, I pour myself a glass of something nice. And I have my drink while I do the dishes, and then maybe I'll either pour another one or take the same one downstairs and see what's new on YouTube channel, and unwind with my drink, and then I go to bed and I wake up the next morning, you know, my head's as clear as a daisy, and I go to work.
Right.
Now I know lots of people who they do the exact same thing with pot.
Right.
I don't know anyone who does that with like heroin or anything like that. It does not mean that they don't exist.
Right.
I've certainly heard enough stories about like the Vietnam vets and all that with the rampant amount of heroin use in Vietnam and it not being actually as big a problem as Nancy Reagan told me. But let's just transposition that person of the, there's definitely the people that go home and twist up a joint and watch cartoons before bedtime.
Right.
And then there's the, you know, and there's probably just a bunch. There's probably some people that'll do like a couple of lines on, you know, Friday evening after work. So as they go out to hang out with friends or whatever. But the big issue is for the people that do enough that they are being, they're enjoyably altering themselves on their own time, but come back perfectly sober, perfectly fine, bright eyed and bushy tailed on Monday morning. The The piss test on Monday morning will only detect the piss test or the hair test will detect the pot, but will not detect anything else.
And on that note,
yep.
So far, we've taught people how to make weapons and pass drug tests in this show. Good job, guys.
Yeah,
that's right. This is the anarchist squirrel.
And if you're smoking enough pot that they take your hair and then scrape the tar off of it,
cut that.
You might have a problem. All right. Well, we'll be back. Oh, shit. Next week's Thanksgiving. Are we going to do a show or not?
No.
No.
Well, I guess that's a no.
In a tryptophan coma.
We will not do a show next week. Everybody get your turkey on or whatever substitute
you want. I just ordered my turkey today.
I will not be cooking a turkey.
What? What are you going to be having, Alan?
Jay. I'm seriously considering baking a chicken. If that doesn't work, I'll do like a pork loin or something.
You can roast a chicken. Yeah, it is very easy. See. I'll walk you through it.
We'll see.
Yeah, roasted chicken's pretty fucking easy. Go to the
store, buy a roasted chicken.
There you go. I like how you think, sir.
there you go.
You guys.
I'll have to see if they, for a bunch of years, I'd always be the small group Thanksgivings, people would buy like just a turkey breast, you know, because
yeah, except I don't like turkey.
Getting the whole fucking bird. I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying that because there are all these stores selling just the turkey breast.
Yeah,
after Thanksgiving, suddenly there's all these super duper marked down hind quarters of turkeys, the leg and thigh combo,
which is the best part.
Oh, throw that shit in the crock pot. That is awesome.
Dark meat.
What I wonder, you go to the Ren Fair and they're selling turkey legs like crazy, right?
Right.
What happened to the rest of the bird?
It becomes that limps. Weird amorphous log at the deli counter when you ask for smoked.
Exactly.
And I don't even know how the fuck they do that, because it seems like the meat's not like bologna-esque in the like that it's ground and pressed. I don't know how the fuck they make the. And there's no seams in it.
Turkey loaf?
Yeah, how do they make that, like, big cube of turkey that's in the deli counter?
Turkey loaf.
I think it might have something to do with meat glue. I'm not sure. Maybe I could be wrong.
Ooh, like the collagen or whatever it is.
Well, you know, like Scrapple?
Mm-hmm. I love Scrapple.
Man, I love that game.
I've never had it, but Scrapple is like meat and it has like the gelatin.
All those
right?
little tiles?
No.
I'm thinking head cheese. I'm thinking head cheese.
Head cheese.
Head cheese is like chunks of meat and then the gelatin, which holds it all together.
I am not eating head cheese just because of the name.
So I'm thinking that turkey loaf is kind of similar, where they grind up the meat and then there's some sort of gelatin type substance to hold everything together.
I gotcha.
So it's like meat jello.
And Alan, head cheese is in fact the meaty bits that are cooked off of the head. It's not like brains or eyeballs or anything like that.
I don't care.
But they're like cheeks, which are delicious.
Cheeks are fantastic. Hog jowls.
We won't make you eat it, Alan.
More for me.
Off some crackling.
You're gonna crack what?
Crackling.
Uh huh.
So you'll eat skin, but you won't eat
skin's the best
meat.
Skin's where all the flavor is.
What about chitlins?
No, I don't like chitlins.
I've heard chitlins are really gross. I've never actually encountered them.
You can't get rid of the poop smell.
I'm not a fan of grits either.
Yeah, I like grits, but yeah, no, I wouldn't cross the street for them. Mm-mm. When I'm down south and sit down at some breakfast place and grits are one of those things that come with the breakfast, yeah, I'll have me some fucking grits.
Nope, nope, nope. No grits.
Still, you're just finicky.
Yes.
I have texture issues. All right, everybody. Well, however you choose to celebrate it, have a good Thanksgiving, and
you
we'll
too.
Be back the week after that.
Kiss the cats for me.
All right.
Good night, Internet.
Bye,
good
everyone.
Good night.